Morning. Good morning. And let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, towards the back of your Bibles in the New Testament, John chapter 10. It's just going to be looking at a few verses in John 10, verses 40 through 42. And as you turn there, I want to ask you, what would you say are the most important elements in the Christian life? What are the most important things to pay attention to as you live the Christian life? Well, here we are, John chapter 10, verses 40 through 42. This is the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. He, that is Jesus, went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true. And many believed in him there. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, every word in this book that we call the Bible is your word. And every word hangs together as one whole. Lord, we thank you for this scripture, this Bible, the word of God, even these verses. Lord, as we consider these verses that are so easy to read by so quickly, help us to slow down enough and to see Jesus and to see what he values in the Christian life. And Lord, help us to follow him. Grant us even by the Holy Spirit to follow him in his ways in our 21st century Christian life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a movie that came out in 2008 entitled Surrogate. Whenever a movie is brought up, it doesn't mean that I'm telling you to go watch the movie. I'm just telling you about this movie that was about life in the future, when people could live through surrogates, that is, robots. These robots would live life for you. These robots could look like you, but your ideal self. In my case, maybe I'd lose like 10 pounds and maybe bulk up some with some muscles and that kind of thing, right? My surrogate would be like my ideal self in terms of looks. And in the movie, what would happen is you could imagine maybe me. I'm laying in a chair. I just get up in the morning out of bed, and I go and I lay on this chair, and all of these wires are attached to me, and I put on my virtual reality goggles, and things are attached on this helmet to me. And so I experience everything that my robot goes out and does. In fact, I control that robot with my mind. That's how it worked in this film. And so I would have the sensation, as my robot went out into the kitchen and had coffee, I would have the sensation as the surrogate went out to walk on the road and get in the car and maybe go to work, or if it was a younger person, go to school, interact in community with other robots, other surrogates, going to places like the office, the grocery store, meeting with other people, even creating romantic relationships with others. All of life being lived through this robot. Now, in this film, it's not presented as a good thing, and I think all of us could have guessed that's the case. In fact, there's even a prophet in the film who tells the people, who tries to gather a movement, saying, this is not how God made us to live. He made us to live differently. Maybe you already have a sense that there are some parallels between the movie and the reality of the future that this movie depicts in our own modern life now. We're just kind of coming out of COVID right now. But life has changed, hasn't it? We live in the internet age. We live in a time that is very, very busy. We live in an age in which not only do we have electricity so that the sun never needs to set and work can be done 24/7, 365, but we also have computers that are always plugged in. We have phones that never really need to run out of power as long as we can get to a plug. We can always be on the internet. We can always be doing work. And increasingly, we can live our lives without ever having to leave our homes. We don't have to leave home necessarily to do our work or even to go to school, we found out. And in the midst of such a busy era in human history, in the midst of an online life, as Christians, we are in danger of losing elements of the Christian life that were important to Jesus and that we need to still see are important. Jesus today, as we'll see in this passage, he valued knowing his real life story. Jesus valued real physical places in his life. And Jesus valued real community. And these are not unimportant elements of the Christian life, because if these were good enough for Jesus, certainly they are good enough for us, and we ought to pay attention. So let's begin with how Jesus valued story, his story, his relation with God in this world, and the ups and the downs, the high moments and the low moments. He didn't just live life in an internet age where it's one email after another email after another email after another text message and then on to the next day where we just keep doing the same thing and keep looking forward into the future. I mean, not that Jesus didn't look to the future. You see, in verse 40, it says he went away again. But before we go back to what again is referring to in the past, we need to think about where Jesus is heading. In the Gospel of John, we're in chapter 10. We're about to hit a major break in the Gospel of John. Jesus has been going about doing miracles, teaching, and getting in quite a lot of trouble. And he is on the verge of the next chapter in his life. A chapter that he knows is going to include suffering and pain, rejection and difficulty. He also knows that after that chapter, there is another of great glory, of great joy in his resurrection. As Jesus looks at this next chapter of suffering in his life, suffering on our behalf, dying in our place so that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be reconciled to God, as Jesus looks at that next chapter in his life, he also looks back. He went away again. The word again reminds us or tells us to look back in his life. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first, and there he remained. Jesus is not just living into the future. He's not only living in the moment, he is knowledgeable and bringing back to memory the past, a significant moment in his past with God, his baptism. If we went back to chapter 1, that was where Jesus met John. On that wonderful day, at that wonderful time when his cousin, so to speak, had a very vibrant and sober and serious ministry of calling people to change their lives, because he was preparing the way for the Lord to come into the world, bring about great change like we read in the book of Isaiah. And Jesus went to John, and he went to be baptized. And when he was baptized, his identity as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the promised Savior of the world was confirmed in a most wonderful way as the Holy Spirit came down upon him and dwelt and remained upon him. As we read in Isaiah, "This is my servant who comes to open the eyes of the blind, to bring light to dark places, releasing people from the dungeon." It was at this moment that Jesus' identity was so strongly confirmed. He is the Christ. And his mission was so strongly confirmed in this earlier chapter in his story. This is who you are to be. One who restores people. One who restores all of creation back to the way it was supposed to be. In the midst of Jesus knowing he's on the verge of that next difficult chapter in his life, he goes back and he remembers that earlier, more joyful, sober moment in his life story where his identity and his mission were so confirmed. Do you ever do that? If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Where are you at in your story? Do you have a sense that your life is being authored by the Lord, and there is a sense of a story to it? When you face difficulty, do you ever look back to your baptism? When your identity was confirmed, when your mission, your purpose in life was to respond to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who washes you clean, who promises you new life, to be all who you were made to be in this world, to image forth God. Or in the midst of looking at the next chapter of difficulty in life, maybe your child is in trouble, not responding to you, only wanting to live life virtually through a video game, and you can't seem to get them to pay attention to you and to what you want them to do. As you look at this difficult chapter, do you go back? Are you reminded of who you are in Christ? As you look at this next chapter, when you just didn't get the promotion you expected at work, or where you just don't see a way forward in your relationship as a husband and wife, do you only sit in the difficulty, or do you look back to an earlier chapter where you were met by God and you knew who you were and you knew who he said he was for you? We need to practice this in our Christian lives. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. And so I'd advocate something simple to you: journaling. Maybe you take once a week 10 minutes, and you write about your week, and you take note of where you're at in your life, and maybe remember something from your past when you engaged with God in a significant way to help you move forward. Maybe you journal every night before you go to bed. Or maybe you don't even have to get out the pen and the paper or the tablet, but you just sit quietly with a lit candle by your side. And you just think through your day and you ask yourself, what were the joys? What were the difficulties? And you go back and you remember the Lord. You remember your baptism. You remember your parents who told you about the Lord. This needs to be part of our Christian life, because if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. But that's not all that Jesus did here. He did something else that I think in our modern day can be surprising. He didn't just journal, he didn't just remember, but he took the time to go somewhere, to take the time and the energy to go to another place, a place of significance, a physical place. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at first. I don't need to expand on this much, except to say he didn't need to, did he? He could have just remembered in his mind. But for Jesus, it was about the place, going back to that actual place. Because Jesus is God become man. And he lives in the real physical world. And places matter to our lives. We were not made to simply live in one room with a computer. All kinds of benefits to the internet age. I don't mean to say it's all bad or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But places matter. In fact, this place matters. As your elder prayed, we thank God for this place. During COVID, we couldn't always gather in this place. But coming back to this place has significance. It's the place where you have been together with those that you love, with your family, over the years, where you've heard the word of God, where you've worshiped God, where you've tasted and seen that he is good. Places matter. And that's why worship in person matters. Because you come back and you're physically together in a place. It is not the same. And so if it was good enough for Jesus to go all the way back to that place to remember that earlier chapter, it's also important for us to come back here every Sunday. Zoom is a substitute, but it's not a great substitute. It's nice to have it. We're thankful for it. But this is what God expects, for us to be back and to come and to take the time to get up, to take a shower, to put on our clothes, to brush our teeth, to come to a place to be together. But there are other places you need to go to in your Christian life. Maybe it's your parents' gravesite. Maybe it's your child's gravesite. Maybe it's to go back to that old home where you had great joys, or maybe you had great pain where you were abused. It's to go back to those places, but here's another element that we need to bring in. It's to go to those places with God in community. This is another element of the Christian life that Jesus brings into our vision in verse 40. Maybe it's not so clear, but in verse 40 it says, once he got there, there he remained. And that word remained is an important word. In chapter 1, when Jesus was there at his baptism, the Holy Spirit came down upon him in the form of a dove, and there he remained. The word here has to do with communion, with community, with the divine community, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, together. When Jesus goes back to this place in his story, as he's on the verge of looking at suffering and then great glory, he doesn't do it alone. He does it with God. With the community of God. As you go back in your story, as you consider your life, you must do it with God. As you go back to the grave site, as you go back to that place where maybe you were treated so well or you were treated so badly, you need to go back with God. But there's another aspect of community that Jesus brings out for us that we can forget in an age of the internet. Verse 41, and many came to him. In verse 42, and many believed in him. Jesus also met with his people. He met with his disciples. He met with us, the people of God, important to the Christian life and of greatest importance is that we are in community with God. That is why Christ came, why he died, why he rose again, why he reigns in the heavenly places and sent his Spirit upon the earth, that we might be reconciled to God and enjoy communion within the divine community. But he also died and rose again so that we might enjoy community with one another. In fact, the Christian life will be deeply, deeply impoverished. In fact, you might even say that there is no Christian life if you are not in community, real community, with your brothers and sisters in Christ. The Christian life cannot be lived via Zoom alone. We need each other. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Come to worship every Sunday. And when you go out of town, go to worship there too. If you're sick, stay home and use Zoom. That's fine. But when you're better, come back. And when you're working through difficult things in your own heart, in your own life, yes, do it with God. But remember, there are people around you, every single one of them knowing the difficulty of living life in this world too, who can help you. And sometimes it just takes the willingness to ask somebody you trust to talk with you over a cup of coffee and to help you as you go back so that you might go forward more knowledgeably, more willingly, more boldly, and intelligently as Christ's disciple. At Christmas and Advent, we remember that our God, the eternal, unchangeably good God, came down to us. When he came down to us, he took on flesh, a real physical body. And he came to a real place, to a real community of people, to a Mary and a Joseph in the midst of a real story. God, in this season, comes to each and every one of us too, in the midst of this community, in the midst of our story as a community and each of us individually. And he gives us the grace to walk with him in the Christian life as Jesus did too. May we walk as Christ walked and experience the grace of going back and remaining. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Because without this revelation, we would know nothing or so little. Surely we have creation. We learn of you there, Lord, and we thank you for all that we can know through creation. But without your word, we would know nothing of Christ, of this wondrous salvation, this grace that is making us to be like him. And so we pray that you grant us by your Spirit to walk like him. Yes, to engage in prayer and reading your word, but also to remember to do it in community, in real places, being mindful of the story that we are a part of. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.